Jesus, he is the hope of the world. We have celebrated the love of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we celebrated last week the joy of Jesus, that the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, I bring you news of great joy for all the earth. And this week we celebrate peace. The angel that showed up and announced that there would be great joy, he was joined by, a whole multitude of angels. A heavenly host appeared, and they said, glory to God in the highest of heaven, and on peace on earth to those who he favors. And so today we celebrate that peace. We celebrate what Jesus brought with him, the peace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that in a world filled with trouble, that you are a refuge of peace, that you are a God who brings calm to the storm, brings healing to hurt, and wholeness to brokenness. God, just thank you that you bring us hope and love and joy and peace. Thank you that you came. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace. Peace to those on whom his favor falls. We have the opportunity to witness what peace is all about. All the time throughout our lives, we see that peace is discussed, and especially in times like today, that there's little moments that in the hecticness and the craziness of this world, that there are these moments that you may get where there's peace. I think about my family, my wife's family, that they are always seeking refuge at least once a year in the mountains of Gatlinburg. And at first, I didn't get it. I was like, why do you keep going back to the same place over and over? I mean, we've seen it. Mountain, stream, shopping, got it. Check. But year after year, we would go, and finally it started to sink in. There was a moment of peace where grown men and women who used to be children that are still brothers and sisters still get to be brothers and sisters and pull pranks on each other and sing songs that they sang as kids. And work was forgotten and stress was forgotten. And for a few days there was peace. That kind of peace is because of love. And that's the kind of peace that God brings. You see, God's peace is not the same as the world's peace. Jesus said so in John chapter 14. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. The peace of the world is temporary. The peace of the world is conditional. As I prepared for today, I thought immediately of 1914, in Christmas time during World War I, there was this amazing event. Now, it wasn't coordinated, it wasn't planned, it was spontaneous, but there was a thing that came to be known as the Christmas Truce. 1914, World War I is in full-blown attack on countries. City against city, nation against nation. And if you're not familiar, during World War I, it was known as the Trench War because they would dig trenches just miles long and the men would hide in them and they would kind of take pot shots at each other from trench to trench. So sometimes you wouldn't even see your enemy for days. But unbeknownst to each and every different group of men, They all individually started, as they approached Christmas, kind of scouring the countryside and finding items of Christmas to decorate. They cut down small trees, they brought in candles, they found tinsel, whatever they could do to decorate their trenches. And on Christmas Eve, the Scottish began to play their bagpipes. Now understand, by making that kind of noise, it was letting the enemy know where you were at. But they started singing songs of home, and they started singing Christmas songs. And as the Scottish played their bagpipes, over on the German side, there was a German opera singer who had been drafted into the army. And he started to sing the Christmas song that they were playing on the bagpipes. Eventually, actually, the bagpipe players stood up out of their trenches and started walking towards the German, and the German got others to start singing with him, got up and started walking across. The French stayed in the trench, but that's a whole other story. But eventually they came out too. And there for a day, governments to the side, war and politics and ideas to the side, the common belief in a child that was born on a Christmas Eve brought these men together. And there was peace. And that peace did not last. It was conditional because Christmas came and went and the fighting went on. The next year, the introduction of gas and other unhuman elements that were brought into the war made it to the point that people didn't trust each other. They no longer saw each other as brothers and sisters, even in God. They were not even fellow humans. They were animals. And so that this was a moment. This was a thing that happened at Christmas. Because the power of Christ, the birth of Christ, is that powerful. That even 2,000 years later, it would make men who were enemies lay down arms and come together and have dinner and sing songs and realize that there was a greater power than anything that they were fighting over. The peace of God is greater than that. It's not like the peace of the earth. It transcends time. It transcends circumstances. The second thing that I hope that you see today is that the peace of God does not depend upon circumstances. We witness this in the life of Jesus. There is a time when Jesus is out teaching. And the crowds grew so large, and he was like, I just need to get away. So he tells his disciples, he said, hey, let's get in this boat, and let's go across the sea, and let's just get away for a minute. I just need some time, some downtime. And so they started to get into the boat, and they went across. And in Matthew chapter 8, we read that he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. It says, suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Now, I don't want you to understand, this wasn't just like a drizzle. This wasn't just kind of the wind's blowing. The waves are coming over the boat. Now, these are men, most of them who had been fishermen. They had been out on this boat. They had been in this lake, and I'm sure that there had been times when storms had came. So these weren't greenies. They knew how to handle a boat in a storm. But what happened? It says that they went and but Jesus was sleeping. It says that the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We are going to drown." Now, this is not the best circumstances, is it? How many times in your life have you been there? When you're in your boat and the wind's blowing and the rain's coming and the waves are coming over and you have cried out something like that. Lord, do you not love me? Do you not care? I'm going to drown. Jesus replied, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Let me back up there. Let me go back to what Jesus was doing. So here's the disciples. They're out there. Probably, you know, I don't know all the nautical terms. You know, they're rowing, they're batting down the hatches, all the good stuff. Making this boat storm worthy. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. Now, I don't know about you, but you can't sleep during a storm unless you have peace. And why does he tell them you have little faith? Because he's with them. That's the peace that God brings. That's the peace of Jesus Christ. When he says, "I give you peace that's not of this world," it surpasses all of your circumstances. When you think you're going to drown, I'm there. I won't. That's not going to happen. I got this. What are you afraid of? He says, "The wind, be still. The water, be calm. The rain, be gone." He rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Did Jesus' peace change? No. Did circumstances change? Yeah. But God doesn't always change our circumstances. Sometimes we have to go through them. And he says, while you're going through them, be at peace. He could have easily said, "You know what? Deal with it. This is a learning opportunity. This is a chance. I'm trying to teach you something. Pay attention. We'll get through this." In this particular circumstance, he performed a miracle and stopped the rain. That was not always so. A couple of examples. Esther, chapters 3 through 8. Esther has been chosen to be a queen of Xerxes, the king of Babylon. I'm sorry, of Persia. And he had just killed one of his queens because she was kind of a smart aleck and disobeyed him. And so he chose another queen, and Esther, who was Jewish, was chosen. Now, at this time, the Jews were in captivity. They had been taken from their land, and they were under the subject of Persia. And she did not announce who she was, what her nationality was. But she was selected to be queen, and he chose her. And there was a man in his cabinet called Haman, and Haman wanted to kill the Jews. He went to the king and he said this. He said, "If there was a group of people in your country, in your kingdom, who would not bow to you because they said they had another king, a God king, and who would not follow your rules but would follow another set of rules, what would you do?" The king says, "Well, I'd have them killed." He said, "Would you make that a decree?" The king made it a decree. He made it a law. And on a certain date, all the Jews were to be wiped out. But Esther heard about this, and Mordecai, her uncle, said, "I want you to go to the king." And she says, "If I go to him unannounced, unwelcomed, he could have me killed." But she prayed and they fasted, and she did it. And she had peace, and she saved her people. 1 Samuel 17, the famous story of David and Goliath. Goliath stands over 9 foot tall. He's challenging the men of Israel for over 40 days, taunting them, like, "Send your best out. If you beat me, I'll be your slave. If we beat you, you're my slave. Our God, Baal, is better than your God." And David, this little runt of a shepherd boy, shows up, and he's like, "Y'all gonna put up with that? Nah. I'm going to take care of this." And he says, "In the name of my God," who's real, by the way, yours is just made up, "in the name of my God, I'm going to take you down." And David laughed until that stone struck him in the head and he fell to the ground. You see, David, how? When other men cowered and stood behind rocks and behind protocol and said, oh, I better not go out there. How did David do that unless he had the peace of God to know that he would get through this? In Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you're not familiar with this story, watch VeggieTales. Great song. I won't sing it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are Israelite men who had been taken from their homeland, and they're in captivity in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, he makes this decree, and he builds this giant statue of himself. He says, everybody walks by, it has to bow down. But these guys are like, nope. You're not God. I won't bow to you. He says, if you don't, I'm putting you in this giant furnace and I'm going to burn you up. Still not doing it. So he had them burn the fire so hot that even the guys shoveling the coal and the wood, the fuel to get into the fire, even those guys were burnt. That's how hot this was. He said, one last time, I'm giving you the chance. They said, I will not bow. And they were at peace because they said, I worship the one true God. And they tossed him in the fire. One of those guys said, King, how many did we throw in there? He said, three. Why? He goes, well, there's four of them walking around. And the fourth one looks like an angel, like a god. And he called out, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come on out. And they walked out, and it says, not were they only not burnt, they didn't even smell like smoke. Peace of God was with them. They didn't know that miracle was going to happen, but they knew who their God was, and they were at peace with that. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in captivity, the king says, you will bow down to me, and he says, no. The Daniel says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray to my God, and you can't stop me. And the king says, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to throw you in this den full of lions who I haven't fed for a week, and they're kind of hungry. And Daniel's like, you know what? Doesn't matter. I'm at peace with God. Again, not knowing the miracle that God would do and perform by keeping those lions' mouths shut. And he was rescued through that. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 7, the first martyr, Stephen, a believer in Jesus Christ, a new Christian, is brought before the Sanhedrin and he's challenged about believing in Jesus, the heretic that they had killed. And he is at such peace that before his execution, they said, you could have one last word. He takes up about three pages. And he starts with Genesis and goes all the way through the Old Testament until he gets to Jesus. And he says, and that, pointing to the Jews that had been in charge at the time, and the Romans who were, I'm sure, standing around, that is who you put on a cross and killed and who raised 3 days later. He preached the gospel. Now, if somebody's standing me up to kill me, I don't know that I have the peace and courage to preach the gospel. The very thing that you were being killed for. But that's the peace of God. How about the peace of God that Jesus had? The night before he's crucified, he's in the garden praying, and he says, God, if it is, Father, Abba, Daddy, if it is some other way, but not my way, your will be done. And when he's nailed to the cross and he's there after being scourged and whipped and in pain, he looks down and what does he say? Forgive them. That's peace. That's understanding. It's not about your circumstance. It's not about where you're at. It's knowing who you belong to and knowing who's in charge. He will bring peace, and peace will bring a blessing. Matthew chapter 5 says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. The children of God. I don't know about you, but one of the advantages of being a child is that things are going on in the world and you're protected from that. My kids don't stay up at night worrying about making mortgage payments or investments or what's going on in Iraq. They're at peace with the world. That's the way God treats us sometimes. He wants us to be like children. He wants us to be peacemakers. In Isaiah, it tells us this: how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Perspective. Blessed are the people who have an understanding. How do I have this peace? How will I obtain this peace? Isaiah 26 says this: you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Speaking of God. How do I have peace? I trust in the one who created it. I focus on the things that he focuses on. I try to remind myself that no matter what is going on around me, God is still on the throne. He still reigns, and one day he will come back, and I will be with him, and we will have peace that lasts forever. Amen? That is the peace that Jesus brought on Christmas Eve. There was a hymn that was written back in 1875 that was inspired by that verse. That hymn is called Peace, Perfect Peace, by Edward Bickerseth. And it goes like this: peace, perfect peace. In the dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace. By thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom, naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping, we are safe, and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown, Jesus, we know, and he is where?
On the throne.
Amen. That's the peace of Christmas. And it's not temporary. It's not just for this one time. It's not for this one night. Unlike the Christmas truce of 1914, this peace lasts forever. And it's not based on circumstance. It's not based on that. How everything lines up and is perfect. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, having a relationship with God the Father through him. So if you today have never had that experience, maybe your life is in turmoil and you've never trusted in Jesus, today you could. Today you could turn it over to him and say, I am in complete chaos, like the disciples in the boat. Are you wanting me to drown? No, I'm with you. To prove it, he can calm the storm in your life. But if he doesn't, as we've seen like Esther and David and Daniel and Shadrach, you guys, there's nothing that he cannot handle, that he cannot walk you through. For those of us who have trusted in Christ, it's so difficult sometimes. Maybe we ask that. I'm faithful to you. I try to do my best. Why? Why do I struggle to keep a job? Why do I struggle with my health? Why do I have to lose my child, my loved one, my parent? Are you willing to be calm and listen to him and let him tell you peace? And are you willing to accept that peace? Are you willing, as it says here, on Jesus' bosom, but calm is found? Are you willing to go to him, to lay your head on him, to trust in him? Can there be peace when the future is unknown? Yes. Because there is peace in Jesus, and he is on the throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you came. Thank you so much for the beauty of this season. God, I pray right now that I know individuals in this very room that are in the midst of a storm. And they are crying out to you, God, why? Do you not love me? Do you not care that I am drowning? God, I just pray that you would just move on them and let them feel the peace and the love that you offer. And God, a challenge to us who are around them, may we be the arms that are the support and the mouth of encouragement. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. God, help us today who have you in our lives to show that peace to others so they know that you love them and that you care. And may the blessings of this season last beyond today. It's your name we pray. Amen.